Like Leanne said, my name is Tom, and I'm really glad to be here with you this morning. Catch you up real quick. The last 3 weeks, we've spent talking about the things that are most important to us here at Crossroads, and that's loving God and loving others. And even on our best days, those things can feel difficult. Never mind the day when we're like running late for work and there's traffic and two of the three kids are sick and there's a hole in the roof and you got three other things to do after work and then you're expected to remain the person that Jesus created you to be, right? Or you're, you know, maybe you're having a good day, you're tracking with Jesus, but the person you're interacting with is not having a good day. And you're like, dude, just go away. Or you're doing okay. The other person's doing okay. But you cannot figure out for the life of you the way that God is working in your life or maybe even in the world. And you're just confused. And it makes loving God and loving others really difficult at times. So that's why we take one Sunday a month to concentrate on what we call relational skills, right? Because relationships are central to not just our lives as followers of Christ, but our lives as human beings. We intentionally take time to develop these skills. So there's a definition of relational skills that's gonna go up on the screen. And this is, I stole part of this from smart people and I kind of tweaked it and changed it for our purposes. These are emotional and interpersonal attributes and abilities essential for developing and maintaining healthy connections with God and others. So if it's not always easy to do, like in all things, we look to Jesus because he's the only one who perfectly loved God and perfectly loved others, and he's our example. So ultimately, the goal of the Christian life is that our character would be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. We would grow, we would change, we would be transformed, churchward, we would be sanctified. That's the goal of the Christian life. And the character, here's the definition of character that when I'm saying the word character today, this comes from a book called The Other Half of Church by Pastor Michael Hendricks and neurotheologian Jim Wilder. That means he has a PhD in neuroscience and theology. Character is our embedded automatic responses to our relational environment and our instantaneous behavior that flows naturally from our hearts. Okay, super. We can grab our hands around that. And when we in the Western world think about growth and transformation, I think many of us, there are two things that quickly come to mind when we want to grow and change and be transformed or work on our transformation. The first one is more information. If I just learned more about that thing, that subject, whatever it might be, then I could, you know, change. I could be transformed. However, some of the most intelligent people that I know, some of the most biblically educated people that I know, are not very Jesus-y at all, right? So knowledge, information does not automatically transfer into character transformation. Okay, so what if we add, right, the other thing that we Americans love, is hard work, right? We just grind it out. We take new information, we gather as much information as we can get, and we grind, right? We work hard. We just exercise more willpower, and we'll get it done. How's those New Year's resolutions working out? Yeah? So those things fall short. Those are good things, right? Those are good things. Always learning, working hard, biblical things, but they're not enough. They're not enough. So in order for us to grow and change and be transformed into the image of Jesus, we need others. We need God, the Spirit, who dwells within us to lead and guide and remind us of all truth, like Leanne reminded us of. And we need the people around us. Really quickly, I'm going to talk about three different areas of study that converge together that tell us why we take these Sundays. I'm going to stop blathering here in about 2 minutes, and we're going to break into groups. And for some of you, that, like, whoa, this is church, right? But the idea of breaking into a group, I'm explaining why we do that and why it's so important, especially when it comes to relating to one another and relating to God. The first one is this, the ideas of levels of processing. If we want to take in that new information, the deeper that we process it, the more likely it is to stick. And what I mean by that is this. If you hear something, right, sitting and listening to a sermon, that's very surface level processing. Your brain doesn't have to work very hard to do that. Okay? If you're reading, like reading the verses, reading what's on the screen, while you're listening, your brain is kicking in another gear. Okay, so that's getting a little deeper. If, like my friend Stacy Tuohy, you're always taking notes, right? You're reading, you're listening, you're reading, you're taking notes, you're writing, you're being kinesthetically involved. Another deeper level. The deepest level of processing that you can do is discussing, right? When you take the information that you are gathering through those other avenues and you turn and you look at somebody in the eye and you hear what they have to say and they hear what you have to say, that information attaches to something in your brain that's already there. And the fact that it's already there increases the likelihood that you're going to grab onto it and actually do something with it. The next thing is brain science. Again, Michael Hendricks, Jim Wilder, I'm going to read you this quote because I'm not a neuroscientist, but this stuff is so important. In Western culture, identity is individualistic. In other cultures, identity is naturally thought of in terms of group values. Through infancy and childhood, the brain is designed to develop individual identity through attachment to parents and other caregivers. Around age 12, the brain undergoes a structural change that balances individual identity with group identity. From this point on, our group identity is a key player in the formation of our character. We are formed by our strongest attachments and the shared identity of our community. In other words, in short, your community matters. The people who you spend time with matter. Right? When we talk about, children, young adult, people of an impressionable age, it's because our brain is literally being rewired at those ages. And from that point on, we need others, including God, to help us remember who we are. Right? On those days when we're having a bad day, we need examples of what it's like to follow Jesus on a bad day. We need people to remind us of who we are. All right, and the last, but certainly not least, comes from the Bible. Over and over and over in the Bible, we hear the one another statements. Love one another, care for one another, carry one another's burdens. We see the mentoring relationships. In the Old Testament, we see Samuel and Eli. We see Elijah and Elisha. In the New Testament, we see Paul and Timothy. There's lots of stuff that talks about how the people around us are important. I want to read one verse, and I chose it because we talked about it last week. So for some of you, it will be very familiar to you. And it's from the book of Acts, and it's a description of the very first church and what it was like to be in that very first church. And it's just simply this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, I believe 100% that's talking about physical needs. People didn't have physical needs because everybody pulled their stuff together and they took care of one another. But I also think that they were taking care of one another in terms of their growth and their transformation. The older people recognized their responsibility as older people to care for, to teach, to share younger people. The younger people looked and they saw the wisdom and the life experience of the older people, and they were able to listen and take that in. They were able to provide that energy and enthusiasm that can only come from the young, the youth. And they were together, and because they were together, all of that worked towards God adding to their number every day. Right, so levels of processing theory, brain science, biblical studies, this is all the why of how we do our Relational Skills Week, why it's so important that you turn and you talk to the people around you rather than staring at the back of somebody's head and listening to one person talk. Make sense? All right, so we're actually going to do that now. In a second, I'm going to ask you to get up and move and get into groups of four, maybe five at most. There's chairs outside the aisles. You can kind of slide down to the ends. Some of you can slide out into the aisles, grab those chairs. Group leaders, if you guys could spread yourself out amongst everybody to make sure that we're all there. And we're going to give you three questions to chat about. And so here's the thing. When we do this, we recognize that it can be intimidating, can be challenging. And if you are not up for talking, sharing, speaking, that's fine. Just sit back and listen. Learn, take in from what everybody else has to say. So please do that. The other thing is, don't feel like you need to stay where you're at. If you spend the majority of your time with the person sitting next to you and you want to get to know somebody else, get up and walk across the room and join another group. All right? That makes sense? Yeah? Okay, very good. All right. So we're going to give you a little warm-up question to get started. Very simply, as you guys are moving, you can think about it. If you had 1 hour of free time, completely free, nothing to worry about in front of you, nothing to worry about behind you, what would you do with it? Okay? And then we'll put the other questions up on the board. Joe, actually, could you cycle through them? I then quit. The first one is this. What have you learned about God or yourself in the last 12 months? And the next one, what would you like to learn about God or yourself in the next 12 months? And as you're thinking about the next 12 months, think of not just learn like new information, like that's good, but it's not enough. Like, where do you want to change? What do you want to grow in? What area do you want to grow in? All right?